Hello and welcome to Malas Noticias, where our news is muy, muy mala. We're broadcasting directly from sweet, sunny Southern California, where the sticky is icky, the girls are pretty, and the housing is inhumane. It's year two of the COVID-19 pandemic, and reefer madness has overtaken the daily lives of cooped-up quarantine cuties. Your fave e-girls are spending the summer smoking fatties on the beach. Cannabis is legal recreationally and medicinally. Roller skaters are twirling across town and the TO, while the feds continue to feverishly lock up black and brown people for trumped-up weed charges. White people are making bajillions of dollars in the legalized cannabis industry, and indie podcasters are treating their undiagnosed depression with chronic marijuana use and other mortal sins. While the world is in the clutches of an unrelenting, people-killing virus, Washington State is melting, Florida is collapsing, California is constantly on fire, Cosby is free, but Britney is not, and no one can afford therapy. In other local news, the LAPD helicopters hover so low, you'd think they were building a nest and laying a big fascist egg right on the roof of your unaffordable house. So, if this summer you find yourself to be hot, potentially horny, but ultimately unhappy, try getting high. Cause life's a bitch, and this reporter has none of the solutions. So keep smoking and keep coping, my friends. Better yet, get high on company time. You heard it here on Malas Noticias, where our news is muy, muy mala.
She's a depressed 20-something with a college degree, who copes with life by smoking too much weed. Dodging cochinos as she rolls down the street.
Oye, mami, I wanna be your dog.
Aim higher, pendejo.
She's la marihuanera, as seen on IG.
That's me.
Mari, 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 marihuanera. Mari, 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 marihuanera. Marihua.
Ooh, she's so high.
So today, like every day, I'm smoking a strong sativa and I'm getting ready to just have a conversation with myself and whoever else happens to be listening. Thank you for tuning in to the pilot episode of Marihuanera, a podcast for potheads. I am Mala Munoz and I'm here to talk about weed. And today's conversation has a lot to do with first times. Our first experiences with weed, with cannabis, with smoking, and my relationship to weed, because I've been thinking about it, and my relationship to weed has always revolved around my relationship to others. Whether it be friends, classmates, lovers, kind strangers, my earliest memories of smoking mota have just as much to do with the people and places where I smoked as it did with actually getting high. My relationship to weed was almost completely social. In fact, in my research phase and preparation for this podcast, I hit up one of my friends from high school. I texted them and I said, hey, remember that sleepover at your house when the four of us killed a bottle of Patron and then we all made out with each other? Did we smoke weed that night? Like, did we also get high? Because I was trying to isolate for myself, for my own understanding of my marijuana timeline. I was trying to figure out when was the first time that I ever got high. And my recollection tells me that it was that night, but it was so long ago at this point. It was a while ago. It's been a while. It's been a few years. It's been a minute. So it was a while ago. And also we were fucked up on Patron. And clearly we were probably also crossfaded. Just high school things. I remember that night and I remember that sleepover. And my friend did say, yeah, I think we intended to, we wanted to, and we kind of just made ourselves do it. Which makes sense because we went to a really fucking ridiculously rigorous school and overwhelmed or stressed out and unhealthy overachievers in many ways. Being the overachievers that we were, we set out to smoke the weed. We had every intention of smoking the weed. So gosh darn it, we were gonna smoke some dang weed. And that's what we did. It probably wasn't the best experience. I don't necessarily remember it, but it was the first night that I got high, and it was the first night that I not only kissed a girl, but several girls. It was fun. It was fun. And it's one of my favorite memories from high school and from pre-pandemic life now that I think about it in retrospect. I think lots of young people, adults, older people have discovered cannabis for themselves during the pandemic. A, it's something to do. B, it's fun. C, it helps me sleep. I have insomnia. I inherited my insomnia from my family. We're not sleepers, but we are early risers. So that's awful. And it helps me to sleep. It helps me with my anxiety. It helps me because I'm a sad girl chronically. And it's just something that I find a lot of value in. I also made friends around weed as I've gotten older. And I find myself almost requiring potheadery in my dating selections. Like, I really don't know if I can date you if you're not a pothead. I'm so serious. It's kind of become a requirement. And I don't know if that's seeking enabling or if that's just seeking somebody with similar interests. This is a lifestyle. It's a hobby for many of us outside of and in addition to being medicinal and recreational and all of those good things. There's so much that goes into it, and there's history and there's culture and there's language and there's accessories. I did in fact smoke. I am smoking as I am recording this. You know what type of podcast this is. This is Marihuanera, a podcast for potheads. Light up and tune in. You know, that's the name of the game. So if you're following directions and you're listening to me and doing what I'm saying, then you should be pretty nice as well. And I welcome that. I want to share my high with my listeners. I want this to be a group project, a group effort. My earliest memories of weed, of having knowledge of it and being aware of it, was way before I ever smoked it. I was in elementary school in the 90s, and I did participate in the DARE program, which was, as you know, a horrific failure, an expensive one. We were forced to spend a lot of time with like police officers who would come to our school and tell us, you know, dare to say no to drugs and alcohol. And it was a lot of this sort of abstinence only, very hardline, very militant, quote, education propaganda is really what it was, about drugs and alcohol. But of course, studies show and research of the time period and the program tells us that not only did the program not work, it seemed almost as if students who were exposed to the program were experiencing this type of very natural, to be expected, normal human reaction of adolescents and children and teens, which is, if you tell me not to touch it and not to do it, then I'm definitely going to touch it and I'm definitely going to do it. That has a lot to do with why, even though I went to Catholic school and I was in the DARE program and everything was like abstinence only, everything across the board for so many years, just pounded into your little brains constantly. It's horrible. Even though that was the constant messaging, the second I was able to, I turned into a sex-crazed pothead with an adrenaline addiction and light exhibitionist proclivities. And it happens, you know, it happens. It's a thing. Part of this podcast is my journey to become the best marihuanera that I can possibly be as an overachiever, as somebody who wants to put out quality work. I want nothing more than to make every pothead before me proud to some degree of something. I don't know everything about weed. I'm not a weed expert. Really not. I'm really not. I really stick to the same thing almost every time I smoke. I like a strong sativa. The higher the THC percentage, the better. It's the same way I choose my beer. How high is the alcohol content? It's my palate is not refined, but that's another conversation for another time. I'm just really here to have fun and to talk to cool people and to just kind of get these thoughts out. You know, I also have a web series Marihuanera, a web series about weed. It's a sketch comedy series. It's on YouTube. Go to the Locatora Productions YouTube channel and subscribe, because I'm branching out. As some have pointed out to me, I was a musical theater kid in high school, and it's been some time since I've really and truly returned to my theatrical roots. It comes out here and there on Locatora Radio, the radio that our flagship podcast under Locatora Productions that my co-host and co-founder and partner in podcasting, Dios FM, and I never know, and I never care to learn, to be honest. We founded Locatora Radio together in 2016 as friends, and it just grew and grew and grew and grew and grew, and now it's just a big old podcast empire. In fact, we're a little podcast production house by the name of Locatora Productions, and Marihuanera, a podcast for potheads, is the first new show under the Locatora Productions banner. I've actually never hosted my own podcast alone before, because my entire podcasting journey up until this point has been with Diosa and Locatora Radio. So I'm extremely grateful to Diosa and Locatora. Subscribe on your listening platforms. Follow, comment, rate, share, post about it. Use the hashtag Marihuanera Podcast across social media, so people know what you're listening to and what you think about it. You can always tweet at me, at us. I'm at @Mala_Munoz or at @Locatora_radio. Also on Instagram, @Mala_Munoz. @Locatora_radio. We're also on TikTok. We're everywhere. We're everywhere. We're everywhere. But especially remember to subscribe on YouTube, because there's going to be sketch comedy. There's going to be interviews. There's going to be smoke sessions. There's going to be roller skating. Like, really, we're doing the absolute most. We're doing way too much. We're going over the top. We're being ridiculous. It's excessive. It's horrifying. So please join us and please tune in, because you're gonna love it. Y que vivan las marihuaneras, bitch. All right, Marihuaneras, I am thrilled to bring this guest onto the show. I want to invite Jasmine Aguiar to introduce herself to all the Marihuaneras lighting up and tuning in at home. Who are you and what are you smoking?
Hello. Hi, everyone. My name is Jasmine Aguiar. I am currently smoking some Dreamsicle Kush, very purple strain, soothing. Who I am? I am a Latina born and raised in LA who currently works in the cannabis industry doing business development, consulting, advocacy, and a lot of policy writing. I've been in the industry for over 10 years. My curiosity came into the cannabis industry because by nature I'm a hustler, and I saw by way of legalization an opportunity to become an entrepreneur in the industry. That led me to advocacy because of the discrepancies, the need to decriminalize marijuana so that people of color can thrive in this industry. And here we are.
Here we are. I want to ask you about your relationship with weed, and how did it start, and then how did it become professional, and where was that sort of turning point for you?
It was, I started smoking weed in high school. I went to Fairfax High. And I was introduced at it in high school. I grew up in South Central. At a very early age, I learned how to flip my first bag, right? So my entrepreneurship came at a very, very early age. And I mean, that was never a full time. Like, that was just, how can I flip this so I don't have to pay out of pocket? That was my mindset, right? Like, let me make some more money while I just don't spend money on weed. Also, like, I think that was very stigmatic back then. It's like, oh, you pay for weed? Like, so that was like my early introduction to it, right? I grew up in South Central LA to entrepreneur parents. So from the age of 5, I was in the family grocery store working. I know nothing else but to work. So that's where my hustle comes from. Fast forward to my mid-20s, my parents moved from South LA to Colorado. I'm the oldest of 4 children, and my siblings are now starting to go to high school. And, you know, we grew up in a very high gang violence neighborhood. My brother was getting jumped, just drive-bys every other day. At this point, my parents saw the opportunity to go provide a better life for my siblings in Colorado. So they left. I had a full-time job. I sold real estate through my mom's firm. And I was like, you know what? Colorado doesn't sound that appealing. I'm gonna stay here. But I miss my family. And I decided to move and be closer to my family. I had to go into a corporate job. And I started working for corporate banking, and I moved up that was my first corporate job, moved up the corporate ladder quickly. At this time, I'm like, where are all the potheads at? My friends drink. My friends in Colorado do not smoke. And they're like, mota? No.
Interesting. No. Oh, but the alcohol's fine.
Oh, girl. Every day. So I'm like, where? I know there has to be potheads, right? So I meet through my sister, who's younger than me, introduces me to her homegirl who smoked. And I'm like, best friend. Shout out to Cynthia. I'm like, best friend, come over and smoke me out. You know, I made my best friend in Colorado for the first time, like years after I had moved. And she introduced me to the medical market. She's like, why don't you just get your rec card? And I'm like, well, what's that? At that time, I was probably like 25. I did not know that California had a medical program. I didn't know that because in the hood, it just shows up on your hand, right? Like you don't have to go buy it anywhere.
Sure,
it just,
sure.
It's there. So when I walked into the dispensary for the first time, I was just blown away. I felt ignorant because I thought to myself, like, wait, they're locking up my friends and gang violence because of, you know, weed territories and other drug territories. Like it was a different just arena that I grew up in versus what I was seeing in Colorado. So the moment I walked in, I was like, aquí soy. The work that I was doing in my day job at structuring and mentoring and coaching small businesses through these incubators, I was like, well, I can do that in cannabis. So I started doing that in cannabis and just identified Latino-owned businesses that were not a lot. It was like, but my focus was supporting Latino businesses. And I started working through that. And that's really what led me into the professional side. And I knew that at some point, Amendment 64 was going to turn into Prop 64. Mind you, I was not for Prop 64. I knew the damages it was going to cause. I was at these tables, and these tables were writing policy that was going to affect my neighborhood. My voice wasn't being heard at these tables. I was extra, right? And it was the mentality of, let's just get through this bill first and we'll fix the problems later. Well, it's 2021 and we got a ton of problems and y'all haven't fixed shit, right? So that's where we're at right now. I continue to build businesses and provide resources and team up with different organizations that can extend those resources to more people because, you know, we're limited.
I started this podcast with the intention of telling jokes, talking shit, lighting up, and just generally having a good ass time and having cannabis, marijuana be just sort of, you know, the theme, the bow that ties it all together. But I also wanted to bring some balance and some perspective and some context to the podcast. And that's one of the reasons why I'm so excited to be talking to you today, Jasmine, because I know you've been really, really working towards making accessible, equitable cannabis opportunities in LA, especially for people of color, working class people, and those who have been impacted by the war on drugs. I would love to hear your sort of like summary of what is the state of cannabis right now, like legalized cannabis, not just in California, but in the US in general.
Absolutely. So Federally, we're still illegal. There is a federal ban on anything above 0.03% THC. Anything below that is considered hemp. And even hemp is going through a reform on regulations of how they can operate. There's a lot of things that hemp farms and hemp producers can't do. And then you have the opposing side of marijuana, where you have two categories, the adult use and the medical use. Medical use by trade or standard in the industry across every state is just a recommendation from a doctor prescribing you some sort of dosage of cannabis. And the adult use is all you need is to be 21 and over. Those are the two differences and the taxes. As far as like product goes, there really isn't any difference in the quality control. Qualities can be the same. Innovation of products are very similar. And the accessibility, of course, if you're a patient, you're not paying higher taxes versus being the adult use. I mean, here in LA, you can walk out of a store with an eighth at $60 to $80, which is very expensive, right? So those are the two differences in the markets right now. And the approach that the United States took was to exercise state rights. States were able to implement statewide cannabis programs. And that led to commercialization, that led to licensing. Of course, when all this started legalizing, the rooms looked very white. And that, of course, is a problem for POC people because historically, POCs have been the driving force around marijuana commercialization and marijuana consumption. Off the bat, I saw the need to be able to reform and be a voice to these discrepancies in policy.
Thank you for bringing us to that place, because I wanted to ask you, in your own personal experience, you know, the name of the show is Marihuanera, a podcast for potheads. And I want to talk about the word and the sort of like attitudes that exist in our communities. And when I say our, you know, as Latinx people, as Latinos, as Mexican Americans, Chicanos, whatever it is that we identify as, if you use this word in your community or you've heard it, when and where, like marihuanera, what does that mean when you hear it?
Marihuanera, you know, it depends who says it and what tone they're using. Because if it's, you know, one of the homegirls and they're like, hey, what is marihuanera? Of course, like, yeah, I'm a pothead. That has the positive encouragement, and you know, that's hype me up as a marihuanera. But there is a negative aspect to it, right? And I saw a lot of this when I started transitioning full time into cannabis consulting. At that time, I didn't really realize the adverse effects that these opinions would have on my family, right? And having my mom or having someone tell my mother that her daughter is a marihuanera or that her daughter is está vendiendo drogas, things like that, like that's not positive. Like that's not something you want your mom hearing. So those have been my two different experiences with that word. And I obviously prefer when it's a homegirl on the other line calling me marihuanera.
I am screaming because I totally believe that there were señoras telling your parents that you sell drugs. How did that conversation come together for you and your family? How did you come out to them as a marihuanera?
That it was an interesting process. So at that time, I was juggling a full-time job. I was in commercial banking, doing amazing. I've been a pothead for many years. I learned in Colorado that they were already a medical state, and two, they were writing Amendment 64, which was to legalize adult use. Started working with Telemundo at the moment, and Telemundo decided to roll out a weekly series, like, three minute series, right? Because they're very short. And we would talk about one topic. And these segments would be at the late showing of the news, which is 10 o'clock. And by that time, my parents are asleep. One of my cousins ends up seeing me, and this chismoso calls my mom.
No.
And, yes, girl. And he tells my mom the chisme of me being on Telemundo talking about weed. The next day, my mom's like blowing up at my day job. Like, I still have a 9 to 5 at this time. And she's like blowing me up. That evening, we were leaving on a family camping trip. So I'm like, oh, she's calling me because she needs me. She needs something, right? Like, I text her mom. I'm like, super slammed at work, but I'll call you as soon as I get a little moment. So I finally get to speak to her. And she's like, hey, I have to go to the store and I have to get this, you know? And I'm like, okay, mom, well, you know, like I need these items. Before she hangs up, I'm like, okay, is that it? She's like, in Spanish, she says, ¿Por qué saliste a las noticias anoche? And I was like, oh, shit.
Oh,
Obviously, she knows.
Right. She's giving you the space to tell her.
Uh-huh.
She's not going to accuse you. She's like, no, tell me exactly what you
what
were doing
last night. Like, what were you talking about?
And I know.
I tell her and I'm like, oh, well, you know, I did this segment on real estate opportunities in the cannabis industry. And she's like, qué bonita.
Pues.
How cute.
Not and, the que bonita.
Yes.
No.
And I hadn't seen the segment because I usually watched it like a day or two after. And I asked her, did you get a chance to see it? And I could hear her voice that she was just like upset. And she's like, no, I haven't seen it. I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to reach out to the producer and I'm asking for the link. And then when I get to your house after work, we'll watch it together. And she's like, well, if you get it sooner, send it first. And I was like, okay. So I get it sooner and I send it to her. And it was a really good segment. Like, it was business directed. And my mom's a hustler. My mom, she does real estate. So she like, it spoke to her, right?
And interesting.
She was just like, when I get to my parents' house and like now we got to go on like a 3-day camping trip. So it's about to be awkward. And my mom's just like, well, I just don't understand why you have to talk about this. Like, there's so many other things you could be. You are brilliant and you're going to be brilliant in everything you do. But why this? And I'm like, well, you know, it's just an opportunity and I really enjoy it. And I do a good job at what I'm doing. I'm like, don't you think so? She's like, yes, but it's just, I don't want you to do this. And I'm like, okay. But at the end of the day, my parents are a fan of their daughter, right?
Yeah,
so
right.
Even though they don't necessarily agree with what I was doing at the time, they respected me as an individual, as an entrepreneur. So they respected that part. And I, in return, didn't realize the bystanders that they were, right? As the criticism came in from different sides. And I had to have multiple conversations with my parents about standing up for what they believe in when it comes to their daughter and not allowing anyone to talk shit if it's not accurate, right? Like, if you're going to come and talk shit about me, like, and it's true, well, it is what it is, but
sure, fine.
Don't come and discredit me because you disagree with what I'm doing. And fast forward to now, like my parents and my siblings are part of my business. I knew we were going to get here. I knew it was going to take time. I think the fact that I'm older helps, right? Like if I was like 21 trying to do this, I can definitely hear my parents like, we're taking the car away, you know, like you're not going to go anywhere type of thing. But now it's different.
What has your take been on the situation with, you know, USA, the Olympic team and Sha'Carri Richardson? So, you know, Olympic athletes are subjected to drug tests for performance enhancing drugs. Sha'Carri Richardson, you know, did her drug test and I guess they found THC in her system. Something that I find interesting is that all of the formal reporting is calling it marijuana. They're all saying she had marijuana in her system. She's been banned for a month. She won't be able to compete in the Tokyo Olympics in the 100 meters. And at the Olympic qualifiers, she like broke a record, right? When she ran her 100 meter qualifying race and she won. So what is your take on this whole thing?
I need to look at the policy from a policy perspective, right? National and international sports associations have policies in place. Very antiquated policies, right? And that just happens to be one of the policies. Like, if you're an athlete, you cannot consume marijuana along with other drugs. All athletes know that they have to submit to a drug test, right? Now, that's the policy side. The attack on a Black woman is what's doing it for me, right? I think the Olympics need to reform their policies. The NFL just did it. NBA needs to do it. Everybody needs to reform what their policies look like, because these policies are discriminations against people of color. So now you're using this one policy to have her sit on a bench. You're using that to exclude her from being great. Their reason behind it, which I believe they think it's a enhancing drug, which is not, right? This ain't 1932. This is 2021. You got access to Google. You got access to medical journals. You have access. There's legislation out there already that you can copy and paste to amend your policies, right? So I think that the support that she's receiving from the community and fans is amazing. I definitely send love to her. I think it's very demeaning to have to explain your story as to why you decided to consume cannabis. Cannabis, right?
Yeah.
Like, she has that's a heartbreaking story. And to have to go on national TV and like explain yourself to people like that, that to me is what oppresses people of color when it comes from a white American lens. Come on national TV and tell us why you're sorry you did this. So I think that all these associations need to reform their policy. They're antiquated. They're an attack against people of color. They have the money to actually do research.
Yeah.
They have the money to do the research. Why are you not doing the research?
It also brings to mind for me just the subjective nature of laws and of crime. Sha'Carri Richardson was consuming cannabis in Washington state, right?
Oregon.
She was in Oregon state, where very much legal, very much legal. She literally didn't commit a crime. She did not break a law. She didn't do anything wrong. And what trips me up is the way that something can be completely legal in one place and one setting, and then just by another group of people somewhere else, all of a sudden it's not. And it's a mind fuck, and it doesn't make sense. You know, it doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. And like a lot of people have pointed out, if Sha'Carri Richardson on Weed Lungs is breaking records, no, you have got to let her run. You've got to put her in the Hall of Fame. Come on. Like, come on. Like, please.
Let her be great. Like, let her alone. Show up and do her thing. And I honestly think it's an attack against Black women. And they're using this as an excuse to have her sit on the sidelines.
Absolutely. There have been other Black women athletes who have been mistreated leading up to the Tokyo Olympics for different reasons, for having an abortion, for deciding, you know, not to face the flag during the anthem, what have you, which are all
Black Lives Matter is banned at the Olympics.
Right. There is definitely a very blatant anti-Blackness, as always, per usual, but they're just very much ramping it up this year, or maybe we're just hearing more about it, whatever the case may be, but very specifically against Black women leading up to the Tokyo Olympics. And it's also a reminder that our fave, and use our fave very loosely, right? But the Michael Phelps and the Ryan Lochtes of the world, and we can go on and on down the list of white men, white male athletes, white men in athletics, whether it be the Olympics or the NFL or college football or USA Gymnastics, who have behaved in absolutely deplorable, maniacal, horrific ways, who have harmed people and abused people and lied.
Absolutely. It's the normal thing to do. And I think that allows this quick communication of things, right? Where we didn't have that maybe 7 years ago. Right. Mm-hmm, and before that, like, it was just so difficult to get all this information. We understand the system. Mm-hmm. We show up and we're very vocal and we're rooted into what we know we deserve. And we're not afraid to go and fight for that representation. And we're demanding the reforms of policy. We're demanding that we are treated equal.
Yes. And quick reminder that Michael Phelps, very out, very public cannabis consumer, also a Olympic athlete, and was really allowed to rock and to compete, you know, in spite of his own infractions or whatever, you know what I mean? Like over the history of his career. So I don't think that anybody ever stopped Michael Phelps from swimming in the Olympics. I don't think they ever, did they ever bar him? Did they ever stop
him? I
think
he was suspended when he tested. But it's a 30-day suspension. So once you you get over your suspension, but that was it. And then there's ways of timing your consumption with like testing so that it's not in your system. There is holistic ways to like get through those humps, which I'm sure that he has a team of trained professionals on the body, right? That can help him tell him what he needs to do.
So he wouldn't miss a race. So he wouldn't miss out on competing, yeah, right, while still doing his thing.
Yeah. And I just, again, think that with Sha'Carri, it's that she is being used as an example. And that's unfortunate. And it's unfortunate, but it's not okay, Olympics. Like, no. No.
Yeah. And to be clear, too, this is not only something that's going on in the Olympics. One of the reasons why this matters is because this also applies to like everyday regular people who may lose their jobs, their employment because of cannabis use. Right. I mean, a professional athlete, this is part of their job, is competing. So this is something that also impacts just working class folks who are using cannabis for different reasons. And again, I don't think anyone has to qualify or explain why they use cannabis, whether it's medical or recreational. I don't think it should matter. But just like the laws are weird and mixed up, employers can also still, like in some cases and in some places, decide to terminate your employment if they decide that they don't like the fact that you smoke weed. That's right.
Like, yeah, and random testing. Yeah. And here in the state of California, that's very real.
Mm-hmm.
Employment check, housing authority, right? So if you're renting and your building manager or landlord says there's no smoking weed in this facility or this apartment complex, then you can be evicted or you can be denied an application. Employers too. I mean, like if you work for the city of LA, you can't smoke weed.
And for our listeners at home, right? Legalization does not automatically mean decriminalization, because even in states where cannabis has been legalized, Black and Brown people are still being disproportionately arrested and locked up for having cannabis on them, for buying it, for selling it, what have you. So the legalization is not stopping necessarily the criminalization of Black and Brown people. I want to thank you so much for coming onto the show today, for coming onto Marihuanera and talking about yourself, your relationship with cannabis, and all of the work that you've done in the industry. It really brings so much depth to the conversation. Can you share with the Marihuaneras at home where they can find you and your work and how they can learn more about equity and opportunity in cannabis?
Absolutely. Best way to find a lot of the work that I do is at Minority Cannabis Business Association's website. It's minoritycannabis.org. Also, Google News. If you Google articles that I've been a part of and work that I've contributed on there, you'll find a lot of my work. Social media. I took a hiatus on social media since the beginning of the year. Look for me on Google. That's where a lot of this stuff pops up.
Jasmine, such valuable information. I cannot thank you enough for sharing all of this with me and with our listeners today. Marihuaneras, if you would like to learn more, please follow the steps that Jasmine shared. I want this to be a space for learning as much as it is everything else, laughs and bullshitting and all that good stuff. Thank you for lighting up and tuning in to Marihuanera, a podcast for potheads. I'm your host, Mala Munoz. please visit locatoraradio.com to learn more about us and Locatora Productions. Follow us across social media. I'm at @Mala_Munoz. You can also follow us at @Locatora_radio. Thank you so much for lighting up and tuning in. Our audio editor is Stephanie Franco. Our Marihuanera jingle is by Crystal Lomeli. Marihuanera logo art is done by the incredible Micah Amaro. This episode written and hosted by me, Mala. Thank you for joining us. This has been a Locatora production.